the Koshcast, warming your hearts from Toronto like yet another meme of Justin Trudeau cuddling something. We start, as ever, in the Premier League, where Everton eat City for breakfast as easily as Ronald Koeman eats buttered bread with sprinkles. Manchester United fail to beat Liverpool despite all the Pogba-ganda. Arsenal and Spurs ease to victories, and Chelsea show that should Costa leave, it's fine, because Marcus Alonso is there to score all the goals. We'll crane our necks to see what's been going on across Europe, as Real Madrid suffer a severe defeat that ends their unbeaten run. And speaking of teams that are rarely beaten, Juventus' lead at the top of Serie A is cut to just a point, which almost certainly means that they'll win their next game while everyone else around them loses. A touch of African Cup of Nations, a quick quiz, and a roundup of football's latest stupid off-the-pitch moments seals the deal. On we go. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex. I've got the usual suspects here, Bernie, Roche, and Mohamed. And today is a very special episode. It's the first episode that will also be broadcast on All In Sports Talk Radio. So to all the new listeners, welcome aboard. We hope you enjoy listening to us as much as we enjoy creating the content for you. A quick background, we are four guys in Toronto, Canada, running underthekoshblog.com. We do articles, editorials, interviews, quizzes, and this weekly podcast. So check us out online on the website. You can also find us on iTunes and on SoundCloud. And that's about enough, so let's get into it. Bernie, how are you?
I'm fantastic, and really excited to have these new listeners. To all of you, don't be afraid. There will be a lot of inside jokes, but by the end of it, you will understand everything.
Yes, I think they will catch up very quickly. Mohamed, how are you doing?
Oh man, I'm doing fantastic. Really excited, actually. But since we're doing advice, I would advise everyone that the four of us are not always on the pod, scheduling issues and stuff. So do not get emotionally attached to individuals, because you will get your heart broken.
So like, love us as a whole.
Yeah, take us as a package.
Sure, yeah. Roche?
How's it going?
Do you have any package advice?
I think you've heard enough advice. Let's get straight to the quiz.
All right.
All right, so for those local listeners from Toronto, we do have a physical quiz happening on February the 8th.
Yes.
At Betty's on King Street. So go on Facebook, see the whole thing about the event, sign up. This is our second one, should be a lot of fun. For those who aren't, we do this quiz on a weekly basis on the pod. I ask questions, the guys try and answer them as fast as they can. And this it's brought to you by Open Sports, which is an app you can download on Android and
iOS.
iOS and all that. It allows you to find
pick up sports
all around the city, obviously including soccer. Also, we do like to have a play on words with every quiz. So this quiz is called the Den Quiz Burkamp.
I like it.
Yeah,
he's a hero.
He is a hero.
Right? Yeah, for some. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope you guys have the nerves of ice.
Ooh, of the Iceman.
Yeah. Iceberg. Yeah.
All right,
iceberg.
Here we go. You guys ready? Before we start, let's remind everyone of your buzz-ins, Roche, Bernie, and Alex. All right, here we go. Question number one: Cruyff passed away in 2016. But how many times has he won the Ballon d'Or? Bernie.
Four.
Nope. Roche.
Three.
Well done. Three times.
Yeah. Early goal.
All right. Wow. Question number two. Which EPL's current EPL stadium has the lowest capacity? Bernie.
The Vitality Stadium.
Well done.
Wow, that was fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 11,464.
That is tiny.
Yeah.
That's about the size of my bathtub.
Yeah, you can...
Troy Deeney couldn't fit into it.
That's a given with any bathtub.
Question number three. Everyone knows of Arsenal's 49-game unbeaten run, which included a full season. But which other team achieved the same feat in England's top flight? Alex?
Derby?
Nope. Bernie?
Nottingham Forest?
Nope. Roche? Last one?
Aston Villa?
Wow.
Under who?
No.
1982, when they won the European Cup, surely.
Ooh. Okay.
Ah.
The right answer is Preston North End.
What?
Oh,
yeah, when?
Well, not when Moyes was manager.
No, presumably
this
not.
This was like the early 1900s.
All right, here's the last question. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bert Trotman famously played through an FA Cup final in 1956 with what injury? Alex.
A broken head.
It's a broken neck, but I'll give
yes.
it to you.
Why did you give him the answer?
It's
wow.
It's
really? Because the next answer we were going to go for was broken neck.
Well, too bad, guys.
I was going to say broken something.
Oh, great. That's the question I was looking for. All right, so that covers it.
All right. We're going to start in the Premier League, and the biggest game over the weekend, Red Sunday, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Manchester United won, Liverpool won. Should we get the Manchester United lads analysis on this first?
They both won?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They both won 1-1.
1-1-1.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways.
We've gone that far already.
Okay. Again, an insight to listeners. When we say the United lads, it's Bernie and Richey.
Yeah.
So before we get into the game, how did you know, predictions going in, did you feel confident that you'd get one at home over Liverpool?
Bernie, take this one away.
I predicted a draw. My cousin said we were going to win. I said nope, because Liverpool have been fantastic all season, I felt. I thought that Mourinho would restrain himself a little bit and maybe resort to taking it easy at first and then trying to counter. Complete opposite of what happened, but we'll get into that. But Richey, what did you think before the game started?
Quite frankly, I thought United were going to win this game, and I do think that they made a dog's breakfast out of it in the end, especially with Pogba's dab penalty.
I mean, going into the game, just looking at Liverpool, I thought they had a lot of weaknesses to exploit, especially that Mane was at the African Cup of Nations. Klavan had to play because Matip was still out with the whole, like, figuring out his non-playing issue with Cameroon. Their goalkeeping situation is a shambles. Coutinho didn't start because he's still fresh from injury. I thought United would win, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, those are all logical points. But then you saw all the marketing and Pogba's haircut, you're just like, you've consigned yourself to a draw at best. Because you can't go into that game with all that hype, a new hashtag, a new haircut, all these like 50 P's carved into your head and expect to
and it matched,
for everything to go fine.
It matched their jersey colour, didn't it? The away team.
Yeah. His hair matched Liverpool's kit.
I think the problem with Paul Pogba before the game was, you know, it felt like there was all that marketing because he's been playing well for the last, I don't know, 2-3 months, and this is the big game. So now he's going to actually cement the fact that he's brilliant, and that was the whole point. But he played like an absolute donkey.
Well, it was.
We're being honest.
I mean, it was his worst game, I think, in a United jersey. I mean, it's not just the handball, and it's not just the penalty, and the shoving of Henderson down to the ground. It's not those. It's just the general central midfield play was non-existent. I mean, another thing. Speaking of the central midfield, I thought Carrick has been brilliant. He's been one of the best things that's ever happened to United this season since Mourinho has brought him back into their team. Uh-huh. But with Liverpool's high press and the little guys that want to buzz around, I just thought he was kind of left out to dry. Maybe it wasn't for him.
No, I think that's fair. I think Man United have struggled for pace and dynamism in central midfield. And if you're not getting it from Pogba, then you really need it from Herrera. And Herrera wasn't fantastic either. He was kind of annoying, which is like his modus operandi.
He was actually pretty good. He was all over the pitch. He tackled everybody. And he did it. Considering Paul, he was doing two men's work.
Well, this
because Paul Pogba did not do what he was supposed to do.
But the thing with Pogba is most people get like goal bonuses, assist bonuses, win bonuses. He gets emoji bonuses. So I don't. How can I expect him to like contribute?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was missing in this game, and there's no secret about that. But I also thought that the other midfielders were a bit flat, and then Carrick was subbed at halftime. So I mean, it's not a surprise.
If we talk about the game itself, the first half, the way it played out, I thought United could have been away from Liverpool very early on. Paul Pogba missed the one-on-one. Yeah. He had no business missing after a great through ball from Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan then went on to miss one, which maybe was a less easy. It was a bit of an acute angle. But he still should have scored. And those were two clear-cut chances. Second half, Liverpool had two clear-cut chances. So probably a draw was at best. But considering the first half, United should have been away from Liverpool by the time halftime came.
When I saw the lineup, and this is one thing I forgot to mention in my earlier bit, why I thought United would win, is you've also got this Alexander-Arnold guy, 18-year-old debutant for Liverpool, playing at right back because Klein was sick or injured or whatever. And you think Martial is going to just eat him up. And that's what Martial does. Martial loves to go at you, and a debutant, a young guy, hates that kind of winger. He wants the guy who just wants to cross the ball, that's it, but Martial, he didn't do enough against this guy. The guy played, I mean, he played really well for his debut in such a big game. And I think Martial is to blame for a lot of the ineffectiveness of United's attack because he should have just had that whole side to himself.
I don't know. I think it's a bit harsh on Martial because I did see him, you know, do some fancy footwork and get past his man. But I think Liverpool did a very good job of man-marking him with, like, numbers, you know, because there was always three guys on Martial.
Yes, I agree. I saw that a lot where the ball comes to the left and they clearly identified Martial's pace. And every time he got the ball, there were literally three guys, not just Arnold. Arnold was very well protected by I think it was Henderson, I'm not sure, but the midfielders were sliding across very, very quickly, which was why I said tactically Liverpool did a great job in this game, because Martial and started off the game running at Arnold, they quickly fixed it, but again, Man United came through them through the middle, and that's sometimes a danger when you're playing. It's supposed to be congested with the diamond, but it weren't, and they had two clear-cut chances they should have put away, and that was what was shocking to me.
Fair enough. Klopp, though, Klopp's record against Mourinho teams is really good. He has lost just one of his seven matches against Mourinho sides, and he's won three of them. Begging the question, because we know that all Klopp does is heavy metal football, gegenpressing, all that stuff. He doesn't really have another style. So is the thing to do against Mourinho teams press them really hard?
Well, I think it's a bit harsh on Klopp, because I think he did change his formation a bit in this game. He did say he played a diamond after
No,
after
sure,
the
but
game.
It's the style of play.
True. I mean, does Klopp know how to play any other way?
No, and this is my point. Like, clearly, against Mourinho teams, it's very effective.
I think the thing he did well for this game, Klopp, is he played three solid kind of holding midfielders. He played Henderson, Chan, and
Van Halen.
And he does this against better opposition. He never plays all three. He usually has a Lallana in the three or a Coutinho, and they're not that solid tactical player. But in this game, he played all three, which allows for what Bernie was saying, which is the overloading on the wings from the midfield when they're attacking. But Alex, to your point, I think Mourinho, I mean, Bernie said we thought he'd park the bus a bit more. He didn't. He went for it. And I think it was, the game quality, though, wasn't very good from both teams.
No, complete shambles.
It was a horrendous game. There were so many long balls. There was a period of time we were watching, and the ball didn't land on the pitch for like 25 seconds or something. It was just head tennis.
Yeah, and it was shocking to hear the commentators then talking about how good the game was and how it was great quality.
Because it was passionate.
Oh,
well, at the end of the game, Mourinho said exactly that. He said there was emotion, there was drive, but he said it, that the quality of the game was not good, but it made for an exciting game.
Yes. There was one moment that the commentator thought was going to be magical. This was when, inexplicably, Rooney comes on at halftime instead of Juan Mata, who's actually a good player in form. Mm-hmm. And Rooney had one more goal to break Bobby Charlton's record, is that right?
Yeah, he's tied there.
Okay, so he's got the ball, left side, edge of the area, and the commentator's like, is this the moment? Is it written in the stars? And then horrific. He hits a pass straight to Emre Can.
Can I tell you what the problem with that was? First off, Rooney was so far back, all he could actually do was either pass or cross the ball. So I thought, what do you mean? What do you think he's going to do here? Is he going to curl it from 40 yards? And he's not going to do that.
Yeah. So Liverpool, I mean, we glossed over this, but they get the penalty from Pogba's handball, which was a very, I mean, you see Pogba turn 360 around himself, had no idea where the ball is, put his hand up, inexplicably gives away a penalty, which Milner scores for his like 17th of the season or whatever, from left back. And then United kept pressing. Liverpool did sit back a bit, and I think they were trying to get away with the 1-0. To be fair to United, again, Liverpool did not score from open play. So United did quite well, and then I think they deserved their equalizer. Rooney played the ball in. Fellaini obviously was brought on to create that chaos in the box, headed it off the post. Valencia was there, did his thing, and Ibra's header was very impressive.
It was phenomenal.
To get that neck power into the ball.
It made no sense that he actually was able to loop it over the goalkeeper from there. It was fantastic work.
Yeah, it was an agonizing bit of play. But I have to say, I mean, it's not a surprise that Fellaini came on as a sub.
No,
Pogba was not winning any headers in the midfield.
It's true, and Zlatan actually mentioned this after the game. His post-match interview, he said United went ugly, and when I think it was Graham Lasso pressed him as to what he meant by that, he was like, "Well, we brought on Fellaini." anyway, that's probably enough for that. No,
I mean you've got a good point here where you say that just on Ibra's form for United. Other than Dwight York and Ruud van Nistelrooy, who scored 15, he's the only other United player to score 15 or more goals for United in his first 20 games.
That's impressive.
So, that is, I mean, for a 35-year-old who people were unsure of, I mean, yes.
So, it's like his first 20 games, like, you mean as a, oh, sorry, not,
as a new
not
signing.
In the season, but like as a new signing.
Yes,
like, okay,
for
okay.
United.
Okay.
So, that is quite impressive. I mean, people were like, well, yeah, he is free, but he is on like 300-odd thousand a week. And was it worth it? And so far, he is top scorer of the league. So, I mean, I think that was a good move.
It's fantastic.
Of course.
Next up, we're going to talk about Everton-Manchester City. And just before we talk about it, we're going to hear what Paul Merson had to say.
On confidence, Everton. I mean, as I say, it was a bad result last week. Can't get in the top six. Not going to get relegated. You know, I thought that was a one. And I think the fans are going to be... If Man City can start earlier and pass that ball around like they did against... West Ham, I think the fans get on their back, Everton. I think they'll become very nervy. Again, I think Man City win this by what they did last week. I just think if these can click, then people. I think a lot of people have written these off, but with the players they've got, if they click like they did last week, I don't know who's going to stop them.
So we've actually spent about 3 hours decoding what Paul Merson just said, and I think he thinks City were going to win. But I think, like, that's my best guess.
I think the CIA still couldn't decode that either.
No,
yeah, it was 34 seconds of nothingness.
No, but complete rubbish. I think he just discovered he wasn't wearing pants.
How that man still has a job.
Yeah,
like, he has a job, but like other people are on unemployment. I don't understand.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
So City got battered, lads. They got absolutely battered by a team that aren't even that good.
Contrary to Paul Merson prediction, I think that's a trend.
I mean, to go back a little bit, this is Pep's worst defeat in a league game ever.
Mm-hmm.
In his career.
Yeah.
So to put it into context, and it's Everton.
At least it's not 8-2.
Yeah.
So, it makes me a bit happy, though, that it's his heaviest defeat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, kick him while he's down.
Wow. I mean, and you don't even dislike him.
I know, he's okay, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I feel sorry for anyone you do dislike. But coming into this game, City were on shaky form in terms of just... They went 10 men down against whoever they were playing last week. They still kind of nicked the result. And Pep did say the last two games, they didn't play that well. They got the points. He's trying to play a certain way, and he's finding it hard to adapt to kind of like the criticism, because he started his press conference after this defeat by saying, "I'm happy."
Mm.
Obviously, it's sarcastic, but he started with saying the words, "I am happy. We're trying to play the football the way I'm trying to play it," and blah, blah. It's like, listen, man, you lost 4-0. Like, it doesn't work like that. You have to accept that at one point that it's just not working.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they looked a shambles at the back again, and I know Bernie's going to love talking about John Stones being an absolute waste of money.
No, I don't. Like, I don't love it, because I like John Stones. Before he went to Man City, I thought he'd be a brilliant signing for Jose Mourinho at Chelsea, which would have been an even worse disaster than last season. It's just unfair in many ways, but the guy's trash right now. Like, honestly.
He is actually really.
Honestly, it's been two seasons where, I don't mean two seasons of stalled development. Two seasons of trash.
He's also got Otamendi next to him, who's horrendous.
Otamendi is bizarrely terrible at defending for someone who is like La Liga's best defender. But it's kind of inexplicable.
The best part about him is the beard. That's about it.
You're the same beard you have.
Yeah, yeah.
But his hair completely offsets it. Because the hair is tragic.
City did have 71% possession, though, which is a Pep kind of trait.
I mean, that's a trophy in itself.
It's a win for him.
I mean, it's from the school of Van Gaal. Like, you have all the ball and you still do nothing with it. It doesn't make any sense to me. My question is, Otamendi, as you guys have rightly said, has been horrible. Some people have labeled him the worst defender in the league, which is hyperbole, but fine. Is he worse than Mangala?
No, Mangala's worse. Mangala, we'll talk about La Liga in a bit, but Mangala has been so bad for Valencia, it's not even funny. But yeah, I don't know. The City are terrible at the back. Bravo is not helping. Here's a stat. All right, Bravo is 20th in the list of keepers in terms of save percentage, which comes from conceding 16 goals from 19 shots.
What?
Wow.
No. That's unbelievable.
He's made seven saves, which when you break it down into his worth, it costs City 300K a save.
Okay, so I want to get into these stats a little bit, because I think that If you kind of break down the goals that they've been scored against, I think they're really open chances. They're counter-attacking goals, wide open in front of the goal. Look at Lookman's goal.
Yep.
Look at
Davis's goal.
Davis's goal.
Even Lukaku's.
The defense doesn't help. I mean, Davis's goal, it was criminal from a defensive point of view. Mm-hmm. His debut, isn't it? Or something?
No. He's played a few games, but he's still a child.
Whatever. Exactly. He's still unproven talent. He took on Yaya and Clichy with one move, took them completely out.
Let's flick it behind his... Oh my God.
How? Yeah. Like...
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. And it's helped that he looks like a Game of Thrones character. I enjoy that.
Yeah, wow. He does. He does have that look on him.
Profound.
Schneiderlin has moved to Everton recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Came on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, he didn't really do much. Yeah,
got a foul, a tackle.
You guys did talk about Lookman as well. He came on and got a debut
goal. Good
goal.
Yeah.
Although it was John Stones assisted, but good goal nonetheless.
Yeah. So let's take a step back here about the whole City Pep thing.
Mm.
I think if they finished top four, he's done his job.
I don't think so.
This season, I would agree.
Look,
with that.
He's inherited the worst defense, I think, in the top six.
Yeah, I don't think we were saying that they were the worst defense when they won their first eight games in a row.
I mean, that's what happened with Pellegrini last season as well. They do this. But just the thing is, again, I say the same thing. When you hire Pep Guardiola and sack Manuel Pellegrini in January, effectively, you don't do that just so you finish top four. That's not what the point was. The whole point of this was to start their domination, hopeful domination, of the Champions League. That was the idea. But if they couldn't even do that, remember, he was linked with them the year before when they won the Premier League. So this is not about top four. It's not about winning the FA Cup. It's not about EFL Cup. It's about becoming a force in Europe. And they're not nowhere near that.
I'll give you this. His signings haven't been great for City. Nolito, Bravo, Stone. I mean, Stones, he'll get into it. But for now, he hasn't been good. So
wait till you see Gabriel Jesus. He's going to change the game. Jesus saves, man.
I hope he's good.
So, I mean, I think that's enough talk about City, but if he comes top four, gets his signings in the summer, shores up the defensive... I mean, there was talk about Bats Tuber on loan, but that's not happening anymore. So clearly, he wants to get a few players.
They know it's an issue. And when you're in a crucial part of the season and Zabaleta is playing in midfield, not coming from fullback to move up into a central midfield position, playing in central midfield, your squad has options.
I just feel that was his job. That was his job to come in, assess the squad, and know what to do. We gave a lot of grief to managers that don't do that. And of course, to a lesser degree, David Moyes came to Manchester United and assessed the squad and did nothing. He does not deserve any credit after doing that type of shitty job in the transfer window.
Yeah. I take your point, but for me, the blame is not with Pep on this. I mean, partially sure, but Chiki Begiristein has been there for what? How long? 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
He has created a squad that is completely imbalanced, that is old, that does not have the quality of players necessary. He was brought in to get Guardiola, right? And he has not created a squad that is capable of playing Guardiola football. So for me, it's right on his shoulders.
Also, the only negative to come out of this is that the smug face of Ronald Koeman.
Oh.
He has that smug face when he wins, you know. He did it when I think recently he had a really good result.
He beat Arsenal.
Yeah, he beat Arsenal. Now he's just... Oh, I hate that.
He looks the same every game, to be fair. Yeah. If he wins or loses, I'm sure he has
round
the same
and red.
Oh, but it's fair to say that this Begiristein fellow is no Einstein.
Oh,
well done. I was waiting for that.
I've just worked out... So I always say that Koeman looks like a ham, and he does, but I've also worked out what else he looks like. You know those... well, there's little the laughing cow cheeses.
But sorry, I feel like we're laughing right now, but we have to give Ronald Koeman a lot of credit.
No,
beating Arsenal, I mean drawing with United. I forgot the name
beating
of the team.
City.
Beating Man City 4-0. They've done very, very well. Morales is resurgent.
I think the Schneiderlin signing is a great sign.
He's done with, I mean, Lookman clearly looks. Looks good. Davis looks good. Holgate looks good. He's doing he did a very trash job towards the end of the year. But they have a lot there, and he's building something that's going to be substantial.
They're looking good in the table.
They're good, man. They're seventh, and the top six is a cluster.
But seventh is exactly where they should be. For me, he's on par. And he's done nothing
I think he's miles better than Martinez.
Martinez had them finishing fifth.
Come on. One time.
Sure.
And then they almost got relegated.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, It averages out to about seven.
Martinez is a shifty beggar.
All right, I'll be honest. Didn't expect us to be talking about everything this long, but I did enjoy it. So we'll allow it. Next game, Swansea 0, Arsenal 4. This is a game encapsulating Arsenal perfectly. The first half, absolute useless trash.
So bad.
Like, Arsenal, and for the viewers who don't know, me and Alex are the Arsenal camp on this podcast.
Yeah.
We have not started games well in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Preston in the cup, Bournemouth 3-0 down, this game, at home to West Brom. We just haven't started well.
As far back as I can remember.
Yes.
Wow.
And this was nothing different. Swansea looked like Barcelona. Everybody we play in the first half looks like Barcelona. And we just did not look assured of ourselves. We didn't have a game plan. We had Xhaka and Ramsey in midfield, which they took a while to settle. I think that was a big deal in this game too. Ramsey was too far deep sometimes. Xhaka was too far high up. And it doesn't suit their styles of play. It needed to be the opposite way around. And we saw that in the second half.
I mean, there's two things. Ramsey rarely knows what day it is or what's going on. But my theory about the slow start for Arsenal is this. It's correlated with Giroud starting up front.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Giroud is scoring a lot of goals. He deserves a lot of credit. But the thing is, Giroud doesn't set the press. When you play Alexis Sanchez up front, he sets the press. He sets the tone. He gets things going quicker than Giroud does. With Giroud, the team naturally has to sit off because he can't press them.
A big debate right now that Arsenal fans have is, how can Giroud be scoring this amount of goals and you still have so many fans saying, please take him out of the team? Like, it's such a weird concept.
Because the team plays better when Alexis is up front.
My problem with all of this is that would be fine, the whole Arsenal not pressing from the front and all that and looking lively in the first half. If Arsenal actually were playing well before Giroud started, like actually became the starter, they were not. Remember the Man United game, the games after that? They were not. Like, it got to a point where Alexis Sanchez was playing up front and everything was great. But then for whatever reason, things started to tail off.
Oh, I'll tell you the reason.
Okay, please.
The reason is all our good midfielders were out. But also mainly the wingers. Sanchez had no help whatsoever. Theo's form dipped horrendously after
the
first
form
seven.
Dipped
yeah, well, also true. But the two around Sanchez, it was a one-man attack that should have been a three-man attack. Iwobi's form dipped horrendously as well at the same time as Theo.
Yeah.
So Sanchez was trying to do it all on his own. So Giroud came in. His form was good. Sanchez's form was good. So they complement each other a little bit.
Here's my theory on Giroud. And I think that I truly believe that he's the Marouane Fellaini of Arsenal. Where he's underappreciated, undervalued, but he gives you something tactically different than what you're expecting as an Arsenal fan.
Stats-wise, he is unbelievably good.
Yeah, he is. I almost put him in my fantasy team, but thank God I didn't.
Yeah, you would have gotten points.
Well, just because he's an Arsenal player, that's all.
I just feel like there's a problem at Arsenal in that you can complain about what you're doing now, but there's no guarantee that what you did before is actually going to work.
Sure.
So you might as well just roll with it and see what happens, I guess. There is no solution, actually.
I disagree. I mean, I think the best we've seen the team play is with Sanchez up front, and so you go and you try and make that work again.
Specifically on this game, though, the two players that played really well, Iwobi was definitely man of the match for us. He looked so good between the lines. For his age, he's only 20.
Robbed of two goals.
Yeah. He's only 20. He's playing with a maturity much above his age, and yes, he will have some games where he doesn't play well, but Wenger, unfortunately, as we do with our youngsters, is we throw them in the line of fire and we expect them to perform right away because those around them aren't pulling their weight. He's doing it. Ozil, I'll give him a lot of credit this game, played really well. He was very good. Just from a like kind of a tactical point of view, he was very good. And I think Ramsey helps him a little bit because Ramsey's all over the place and it kind of creates space for Ozil.
Is that good or bad?
Never decided.
It's chaos. Like sometimes it works out and sometimes
it's
it doesn't.
It's an underhand compliment.
Just before we move on.
You like it, man.
Just before we move on, Swansea are so bad. They're so bad that even when they're playing the best they can possibly play and Arsenal are playing really badly, they lose 4-0.
Yeah.
I have a question. When a team is so bad, does it offend you? Like, watching them, like, it feels offensive that you want them to get relegated. Because I feel that way right now about Swansea.
Sunderland for the last three seasons.
Yes, they offend me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They're the kind of team that you want to kick when they're down.
Yes.
Like, I want them to lose every game from now on.
No, I do want them to go down because they keep selling their best players and then they keep blaming the manager. And whoever they have managing, they lose 4-0.
I'll have to say, Swansea are not in that category for me. They've always tried to play good football. This is an unfortunate season for them, but Sigurdsson is class. They've played well under Monk. Like, I have a thought. Like,
and then they sacked Monk.
Yeah.
Can we say one thing right now? You just mentioned Gary Monk, who is third in the championship with Leeds United. They could go up. What? That just shows you how shambolic Swansea.
And they treated Bob Bradley like crap. So.
I agree.
I mean, true, but we did predict it, which was sweet.
I mean,
it was sweet.
Bittersweet.
Spurs.
Pep Guardiola, the new Bob Bradley.
Keep him there. Keep him there. It's good. Keep him there.
Spurs beat West Brom unbelievably, annoyingly, convincingly, 4-0 at White Hart Lane. And Spurs, I think, are the informed team in this league. By far. Liverpool were that a while back. Now it's definitely Spurs.
Well, Chelsea were.
Sure.
After Liverpool.
Until Spurs beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the thing with Spurs that, well, annoys me as an Arsenal fan is they're a lot of fun to watch. You turn on the television the first minute and they are all over the place. You can see the game plan. You can see Rose and Walker bomb down the right. You can see Dembele control the midfield. Dele Alli is playing phenomenal football. Yeah. Eriksen is now in form. They are a team that have a plan. They have an identity now.
Yeah, of course, true. This is all music to Alex's ears because he's secretly a Tottenham Hotspur fan.
There's inside joke number one. No, I mean, for context, my dad is a Spurs fan, so I sympathize with him despite being an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, okay.
You can send me Twitter hate. Yeah. Okay. But Pochettino stuck with the 3-4-2-1 that has been working so well. They absolutely dominated. I haven't seen a game this one-sided in as long as I can remember. but Kane hat-trick. Eriksen got one. The Dele Alli lob for Kane's third goal.
I mean, what Spurs do is they ride out the beginning of the season until Kane hits form.
Yeah.
And then he hits form and they're great.
It's literally they're waiting for Harry Kane to hit form.
But it's not only him. Eriksen as well was terrible. The first third of the season, he did nothing.
Yes.
And now, second in assists only...
Where did that come from?
Exactly.
Guys, Eriksen is the second in assists. Because I saw the stat about Ozil, but it wasn't about Ozil since 2013. Ozil's top assister with 36. Kane is second since that period with like 32.
Who?
Eriksen. And take you back to the Chelsea game. Those two crosses for the Dele Alli headers were sumptuous.
Sublime. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just
sublime.
Yeah. They were like they're like a cannoli.
All right.
In your hand.
Yeah.
You're about to eat.
By the way, we had a discussion on the podcast maybe 2 months ago where Mohamed... you know, snarkily said, well, Dele Alli, the great English hope. And I went along with him and said, Dele Alli, the great English hope. I'm not going to say that because it's stupid, but he is playing his technique, his touch, his finesse, his drive, he is the complete player. And he's probably the best English player right now.
Also, he's extremely young. We got to remember that. He's so young.
Yeah. Is he even 20 yet? I don't think
he's like 20, 21 or something.
No, not 20 at most.
Can I just say what's sad about this? And I know Richie's going to agree with me. In 5 years, when Dele Alli is, how old is he right now? 21?
Yeah.
Something like that?
19 or 20.
So in 5 years, when he's actually in his prime, which is supposed to be scary, and then you have Rashford in his prime, some manager, English manager is going to mess this up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone is going to mess this up.
It's a circle of life, you know? That's how it works.
True.
Yeah.
But Tottenham also do have the fact that they have one of, if not the best defense in the league. I mean, Chelsea went on a crazy run, but Spurs have... very close to the best defense in the league, which helps them obviously tremendously.
Yeah, and a brilliant goalkeeper.
This is true.
Although similar to Chelsea,
Vertonghen did get injured, which might be a problem, but I think they'll be fine with Wimmer and Davies and stuff. But just quickly on West Brom, Pulis said after the game, we need to improve and we're trying very, very hard behind the scenes to do that, i.e. try and bring new players in.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of the show, Callum Gordon on Twitter, at Gordo9020, told us that he's read that they're in for Jake Livermore for $10 million. So
for how much?
For $10 million.
Oh.
Wow. So, at Gordo9020, you said?
9020, yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Everyone.
How's that going to improve your team?
They need to find a supply of cocaine.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, like, he's good on the line.
I don't know. I stopped being a Livermore fan ever since Rooney beat him on the sideline early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, if Rooney's beating you now, you should probably call out a day.
Yeah.
Moving on, we've got Leicester-Chelsea. I honestly, I don't know why... thought Leicester would do something. I was a Paul Merson of this game.
Are you crazy?
Yes.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
Really?
Chelsea battered them 3-0 with their left back.
Yeah.
Last week, we said Marcus Alonso is the weak point.
Yes.
And he scored 2 goals and could have scored a third.
Alex just looked at me every time Alonso scored. Because on last podcast, I did say he's their worst player. Anyways, for some context, before the game, crazy news broke up that... Costa had a big fight with Conte in the training ground. He banished him and he told him, go to China if you want to, blah, blah, blah.
That's great.
And he didn't play. He didn't start him. And everyone was like, ooh. Obviously, Hazard was rattled because now he has to perform. So that scared him a little bit. But they rode the game like it was nothing.
Yeah, you know, I agree with Conte on this one. I think that he should have full control. He takes all the credit for Chelsea's performances this season. And Costa should SDFU and just play his game.
I'm with you on that. I think it's been going on for a while, apparently.
Yeah.
For the last 2 weeks or so, this row. But my thing is it should he take the money? Absolutely. Should he take it now? Hell no. Like, you're in the middle of a season. How about you be professional? Chelsea are on the verge, in my opinion, of winning this league, even though it's only halfway. They should not lose this league.
Yeah.
If he's being turned by the money now... he's being completely unprofessional because that money will come back.
I agree.
They're going to make another offer in the summer. So what's he doing?
That's true.
Yeah.
You know who agrees with you? Sort of.
Everybody.
Actually, I can't tell who.
Everyone.
I think. Mark Lawrenson. Let me tell you what he said.
For me?
Oh, it's terrible. Here's what he said. If you get 60 million for him, let him go. Have you seen Chinese football? It's rubbish. He's at his peak. The team is built around him, a top player. If he wants to go to China and be bored for 18 hours a day, good luck with that one.
Wow, didn't hold back there. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to go hard on Costa, but all you've done is disgrace and insult all the Chinese people.
Yes.
Well, that's what you've done. You know what? Costa is so ugly, he might as well just cash in on his ugliness right now. Ooh.
I mean, to be fair, my rumor is that he is approaching retirement. He's 40-something.
True.
We all know
what
it.
What is his birth certificate?
In Nigeria somewhere.
I think it still says BC on it.
BC.
Yes. Before Costa. Moving on really quickly, we want to talk about the West Ham game. It's a final game in this round because of the whole controversy with Payet. So another one of those where he's come out since Jason Lee said, I will never play for West Ham again. I want to leave. Marseille came in with a 19 million bid, which West Ham rejected, which is why Payet got mad.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't think he owes West Ham anything. I don't think West Ham owe him anything. He's been there for a year, played well for 1 year. Like, there's no, like, oh, I love West Ham, why wouldn't he stay? Like, he doesn't care, man. Like,
here's the thing, though. He signed a 5-year contract. Well, okay. He signed a contract in the beginning. Yeah. 6 months later, they doubled his money and gave him another 5 years, which he agreed to.
Yes.
He's already got a bunch of loyalty bonuses, which are an extra 1 million.
Ironic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'd see, like, there's no reason for him to love West Ham or feel any kind of deep passion for the club, but this is a
bit. I agree with you, Alex. I feel, and I agree with Mohamed at the same time, he doesn't owe them anything. They don't owe him anything. By the end of the day, he did sign a contract, and that contract was signed on good faith. Now he's acting like a child because he's been playing trash this whole season. That's his own fault for playing that badly, and he's throwing his toys out the pram as a result. But if I'm Slaven Bilic, what I'm doing is I'm sitting you on the bench.
Yes.
At that point, I don't... Like, you have to at some point stand up to player power and tell him, you know what, you're not going anywhere. You're going to sit on the bench and rot. Absolutely.
I love that fantasy, but he will get sold in January. 100%.
Oh, Dortmund do it.
100%.
So I think that there's an example to follow. Dortmund can do that to their players. Why should
you? Have you seen Bilic's interview? He was almost brought to tears talking about it. Like, he was like... And they put the Titanic music in the background and all. They made it so dramatic. It was quick.
Yeah, it's a shambles. I mean, he's 31. He's 31, right?
Yeah, 31.
He's old.
Yeah.
And he signed a 5-year deal. That's good for him. He's in a good spot. He's in London.
He's living in London.
Not a bad city. And he retired himself after that Rabona assist. So, I mean, who's he trying to blame now?
That's true. Yeah. But on the game itself, I mean, the Carroll and Lanzini goals.
Ooh, the Carroll goal.
Absolute class. The Carroll bicycle kick.
It's like made horse. It very difficult to pick between that and the Giroud goal. You just thought that Giroud would easily win the goal of the month easily. But, to be fair, Carroll came close.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Did it come close because of Sandy Carroll?
It came close because the technique was so crisp.
No.
And
it was. But you're shocked because of Andy Carroll.
You could see the weight in motion. That's what
the
was so
momentum,
good.
The momentum, the inertia.
You can tell he's heavy. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Right.
It was an act of much physics.
Yeah, like a horse doing a bicycle kick.
Wow,
yeah.
Much physics.
Much physics.
But Mikel Antonio was the best... excuse me.
Yeah.
Man of the match.
Here's a stat for you to complement that. It's the first time a player has recorded a hat-trick of assists in a game since Di Canio in 2000.
What?
For West Ham.
I can add...
No. Ever a hat-trick of assists in one game.
Wow.
I can add to this too. He had the flu. He played with the flu, which, I will say, is really bloody unhygienic. He's sweating everywhere. He's got snot flying around.
For headers. Like,
as brutal.
Is that why Payet wants to leave?
watch the whole of next week. Crystal Palace
Lady,
are all sick.
Lady Brady, or whatever her name is, tweeted about the whole, like, it's a dig at Payet. She said, oh, well, look at what Antonio's doing with the flu while some other players couldn't even get out of bed this morning, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, Payet's getting a lot of stick.
That's cool. Run your club properly.
As they all left the stadium, a guy put a Payet West Ham jersey on the ground, and everyone leaving the stadium took a step on it.
That is harsh.
One guy stopped and did a full snot spit. It was grilled.
Okay, no, that's...
I mean, he still did contribute a fair amount to West Ham, so...
True.
They should appreciate it.
Before we move on to our next segment, which is Moom of the Weekend, we'll explain what that is to everyone new. Let's look at the table really quickly. Chelsea on top by 7 points, 52. So they're cruising up there with 52. Then this is where you get the cluster, You know what I want to say.
Yeah.
Tottenham at 40 with 45 points. Liverpool 45 points. Arsenal 44. City 42. United 40. I mean, that top five past the top six is very, very tight. Two out of these teams will finish outside the top four. And it's hard to say that any of them, maybe City, none of them really deserve to finish out of the top four. They've all done quite well.
Yeah, on current form, you'd pick City to fail, but
for sure.
We'll see.
It's never been like this, right?
What a hot race.
Yeah. Let's move on to Moo Moo of the Week.
Happy Moo Moo. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
So for our new listeners, I'm going to introduce Mumu of the Week to you. Mumu in Nigerian Pidgin English is a fool, idiot, a moron. And we like to highlight those people who are just as the above off the pitch of football. Because on the pitch, you know, people like Wayne Rooney, Balotelli, they do a great job. But off the pitch, there are some gems. So, Alex, you're going to start us off this week?
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with a post-match interview for Harry Kane after he scores his hat-trick. If you've been reading the news this week, you might know that Harry Kane is a new father, and Jonathan Pierce decides to ask him about that.
Who's the daddy?
Yeah, I'm a new dad. Good feeling, and what a great way to finish the week off.
Did mentally and physically, were you okay? Because the baby, can put people on their stride.
No, we've been fine. The little girl's been great. She hasn't been too bad. Got a good missus getting up at night, let me sleep. So, obviously, it's been a busy week, but one I've enjoyed, and obviously went out there today and enjoyed that as well.
So, it's two things. A, the question, who's the daddy?
What a stupid question.
That's where it starts. But B, like, Kane answers the question as if it's about a football question. He's like, yeah, well, you know, it's not been bad. Like, the baby's not been terrible. It's been all right week. I've got a good missus, and I'll give 100% on the weekend. Like,
to be
it's
fair,
media training right there.
To be fair, he did try and answer shortly the first time, and then he asked him again about it. It's like, what do you want? And then, like, that was weird.
I mean, who's the daddy? Is that like a phrase that people use when someone gives, like...
No.
Can you imagine the guy's face when he was asking that question? He's like, who's your daddy?
Yeah, it is a bit creepy, to be fair. It is. Yeah. But anyways, I mean, it was entertaining. Yeah. I think, Richey, you've got one?
I've got a 2-1. So it is with Sunderland FC. So Jermaine Lenz, Sunderland legend, my God, fan favorite over the last decade. So he was loaned out to Fenerbahce to reunite himself with Dick Advocaat. Former legend manager of Sunderland.
There's so many legends.
And so Jermaine Lenz is so happy with being in Turkey. You know, they had a coup, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now he wants to stay there. And he has come out and said that he wishes that Sunderland should be relegated so that he can make his move permanent.
Right, it would help him make that move.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's great. I mean, you're still on Sunderland's payroll.
The logic is enough.
Oh, refreshing honesty.
Yeah. Just keep it internal, mate. Like, keep it internal.
That's great. So David Moyes, obviously, the pride of Sunderland. The lion of the Stadium of Light. Has defended Sunderland staunchly and criticized Jermaine Lenz.
Oh, it's a disgrace.
I can't do it as good as Alex. But Jeremy, in the same interview, bizarrely, Moyes has come out and said that he did not know how bad Sunderland's finances were.
Which just begs the question is when, you know, in an interview after they've interviewed you and they go, do you have any questions for us? You would think he would ask two very simple questions. Question number one, what are your expectations for the season? And they would have went, stay in the league, mate.
Yeah.
Question number two, how much money do I have to do that?
None.
None.
But you know what the worst part about that is? When you do a job interview and they give you the offer, then you go and say, I'm going to think about it, get back to you. You probably went, you know what, you have no money, I'm all right, I'll take this job, it's the only one I can get anyway.
I'm going to sell Jermaine Lenz, it's all going to be great.
Yeah, I'm going to raise money and turn Jack Rodwell into a legend.
Happy Mumu. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Let's go to mainland Europe, and there has been a lot happening, to be fair, in Serie A and La Liga. Both of them have been quite exciting. Usually they are a two-horse race or a one-horse race in terms of Serie A anyways. But this season have been very interesting. So let's start in La Liga. Madrid had that crazy 40-game run. They almost lost it against Sevilla like a few days ago in the cup. Benzema clutch, 90th minute goal to make it 3-3 after they were like 3-1 down. Great. Then they played Sevilla again yesterday in the league. And it almost looked like they were going to keep the run going. They went 1-0 up, like 70th, I don't know, 60th minute or something, Ronaldo penalty. And then Sevilla rallied back with a 2-1 scoreline, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, Sevilla did a great thing for the league.
Yes.
I mean, it was nice. The Zidane, I'm on a roll story was very nice. But Sevilla are a massive story themselves this year. What they have done under Sampaoli is fantastic.
They're sitting second in the league above Barcelona.
Yes. That is impressive.
Yeah, I mean, not only initially in the start of the season, we're like, ah, maybe they can challenge Atleti for the third team.
Mm-hmm.
And they've surpassed that expectation. And yeah, now Barca are in third now.
Nzonzi and Nasri are playing phenomenal football. Nzonzi has been an absolute beast. He's been a phenomenal figure in the middle of that Sevilla midfield. I mean, I was talking to Alex about, like, a transfer from Stoke to Sevilla feels weird. But it worked so well.
Except when you realize that their scouting network is fantastic.
Well, that's what happens when you're broke.
Yes.
But this wasn't scouting network. This was watching the Premier League on the weekend and Mark Hughes being a moo-moo. Like, I don't like Mark Hughes at the best of times.
Mm-hmm.
He's let Nzonzi leave and replaced him with who? Like, Gianelli Mbula.
Charlie Adam.
And Charlie Adam. Enough said. Like, you're an idiot. And Sevilla are brilliant.
Madrid lose their streak, which helps with the whole league standing. Barcelona capitalized, beating Las Palmas 5-0.
As you should.
Can we just say, before we go to Barcelona, Sergio Ramos is the greatest shit player in the world.
Yes.
Like, his defensive ability is not good. His positioning is bad. He's so clutch. He's great at headers. And that header was really good.
He's like a
just
combination.
In the wrong place.
Yeah, in the wrong goal.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just going to say he's like a combination of like Otamendi and Giroud.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, he reminds me of Piqué and Otamendi and Giroud.
And Mangala and Stones. Yeah,
it's weird. If you look at Madrid's defenders, you've got Marcelo, who's like their best left back.
Yeah.
Attacking, like he's like...
Well, he's their best winger, but worst left back.
Yeah. And then you've got Sergio Ramos. And both of them are like pillaging goals.
Poor Carvajal is the only one that does any defending on that team.
Seriously.
And they have no defensive mid in front of them, except when Casemiro sometimes plays. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And Carvajal won the penalty in this game.
True.
He has to do everything.
True. Yeah. Ronaldo stat padded, which is great.
Sure.
Anyways.
But yeah, they have done that 40-game win streak, which is pretty impressive.
It was
that the new record, or did they just...
It is
they
a
broke
new
it?
Record.
Okay, they broke. Okay.
Arsenal fans rejoiced the minute Madrid lost, obviously, because they were getting worried about that 49. It was looking a bit.
That was in the league, not all competitions. This is all competitions.
Right. Sure. But regardless, you would have remembered the number.
AC Milan did 58, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know these Arsenal fans think they are. That's the one thing they have.
Preston North End.
Yeah, their fans were getting concerned as well.
This is true.
Barcelona sitting at third with 38. They did beat Las Palmas 5-0. Barca haven't been at their best this season. Obviously, sitting at third shows you that. But I don't know. It's something about the way they've been playing. Neymar has been hot and cold, very cold recently. I mean, when Arda Turan has better stats than you, you know you have issues. That third position in midfield has been a problem for them. Busquets and Iniesta will always play, always start. It's that third. That Rakitic, that Andre Gomes, all that good stuff.
I hate that name.
The right back...
The
right back position is also hot and cold with...
Vidal.
Well, Vidal and the other
Sergio
guy.
Sergio Roberto.
So, it's a bit... Also, when Piqué doesn't play sometimes, you have...
Umtiti and Mascherano, which is slightly... It's a short combination.
It is.
I mean, let's put this in its proper context. Las Palmas.
Yeah.
Like honestly, they really, really destroyed them, as they should do. They have been up and down, like you said. I think it's literally as if it's like one week they're fantastic, the next week they're pretty awful.
Yep.
This is Las Palmas. There isn't any other thing you can read into this. It should have been
10-0
even.
You know what? Las Palmas started the season crazy hot, and they were doing well, and they had that fantastic assist. Kevin Prince-Boateng was like leading the Lions.
He's there.
Yeah, your favorite player.
Yeah, he's like great. KBB, man, all the way. But like in this game, Alex Vidal scored this good goal. This like nice carpet finish into the corner. And I like rewatched it 3 times because I like, you know,
you like the carpet finish.
Yeah, it was like an alternate angle.
Daisy cutter.
I don't know what that means. But yeah, like the camera pans to the Barcelona bench and everyone's kind of like laughing. And I just did not like any of their faces.
Like, you thought they weren't taking it seriously enough? Like,
no, they just had a bunch of inside jokes going on, and I just hated it, and I wanted them to lose.
But you want people to like this podcast?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes, our faces are great.
Actually, no, they can get the hell out. I'm just kidding.
Atleti won 1-0.
Yeah.
At least they're keeping up with the pack slightly.
They're scraping wins at the moment.
They are.
Usually Saul scores.
Standard.
Yeah,
I mean, you would love them to win the Champions League.
Who scored in this game?
I would, yeah. So I think it was Saul.
How did they score?
I don't know.
I didn't watch this game at all.
You're asking the hard questions.
I'm just wondering if it was a corner, a header, really that standard.
Not this one.
Anyway, no, I would love him to win the Champions League. I think this is Simeone's last season with Atleti. I think that's becoming clearer and clearer.
And Griezmann's, and Saul's, and Koke's, and Godin's.
And they changed the name of the stadium, and they're doing like they're just fire sale. The whole thing.
The logo. Just for context, Bernie loves a fire sale. He predicted a Dortmund fire sale that never happened.
Yes, it really didn't happen. Except it happened the season after, stupid Hummels.
All right, let's move on to Serie A in Italy.
Is that where it is?
Mm-hmm. For anyone who doesn't know. For new listeners. a lot of exciting results as well, mainly being that Juventus finally lost.
Fiorentina,
who, to be fair, I mean, Buffon was susceptible for both of those goals, I thought. I thought he could have done better.
He's another player that has allegedly just come back from the flu.
Right.
And he unlike Mikel Antonio, he performed like it. He was very slow to get down on the Kalinic goal.
You give him that, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? No, yeah. I'm saying over his career, you go, eh, okay, fine, yeah. GG, it's okay.
It's true.
At
41, it's harder to get over the flu than at 25.
You wouldn't give it to Casillas, though. But you can give it to
Buffon. Yes. Tough on Casillas.
The Perez mentality. But so Kalinic gets the first. But Delj or Federico Chiesa, depending on whether you think Chiesa got a touch on it. But here's the thing about Chiesa. Mohamed, tell us.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to say. So Buffon played with his dad in Parma in 99.
Enrico.
And now he's playing against his son. That's the longevity of Buffon. Speaking of longevity, Roma did capitalize on this Juventus loss finally. 1-1-0. And Totti came on to play his 25th season for Roma. I mean, that makes me happy.
25 calendar years. Yeah. Like, he's been around forever.
Well, love him.
That's almost as old as I am.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. He's been playing since you were born.
And he looks better than us.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We'll always look better than
He is a Roman sculpture.
By the way, I'm still stuck on Chiesa because I remember buying him for a Man United on FM.
Yes.
And he was assist king on FM 2001. Enrico, so if we have any FM fans, let's talk about that.
Also, Chiesa is a great pun on the words. We can use it for our next quiz segment somehow.
Chiesa.
Well, if we're talking about Chiesa, Enrico Chiesa, if you translate it, Richard Church.
Oh, is that what it means?
Hmm.
Interesting. Back to the football. So Roma did win 1-0. Nainggolan with another clutch goal. I can't place him. Is he really good or is he just kind of like, I don't know. Like, could he do it instead of Matic for Chelsea?
Oh, I thought you were going to say on a cold night in Stoke.
Well, basically.
Yes. No, and he's not anywhere near the same type of player as Matic.
Sure,
he's box to box. He's more like a Vidal. I don't know. Who else is box to box these days?
Modric.
No,
he's more dynamism than Modric.
He's very much Arturo Vidal.
Yes. Yeah, he is Arturo Vidal, but just like sideways a little more expanded.
He's built like a fridge.
They are similar, even in their crazy hairstyle, tattoos.
I mean, is he as good as Aaron Ramsey?
I don't think he has to be when he's if he's on the same field as him, he's going to be like sitting on Ramsey in the middle of the park.
By the way, he also has a little bit of the Hamsic ultra thing.
Oh yeah,
because he doesn't seem to want to leave Roma, and I wonder if he's in with those ultras.
It's not one. He can't. Hamsik has wanted to leave for a decade.
That's what I feel about Nangla. I feel like if he doesn't leave now, he's going to be sucked in by the ultras and there's nowhere to go after
it's
that.
It's possibly true. Speaking of Hamsik, who you also used to buy on FM for United.
Yes.
Napoli beat Pescara 3-1. Hamsik scored, as always. But another big game this weekend, actually it happened today, Monday. Torino 2, AC Milan 2.
Yeah, Torino taking the lead 2-0.
Yes, and Mihailovic, Torino manager, ex-Milan manager, wanted to come back and get revenge, perhaps. And yeah, Belotti with the first goal, Benassi with the second one, and then Carlos Bacca does what Bacca does and scores twice.
Hits it into the back of the net.
Correct.
Oh, wow, Chewbacca.
Ooh.
All right, well, here's the table as it stands. Juventus on 45 points, Roma on 44. Juve do have a game in hand, though. Napoli on 41, Lazio on 40. So Milan are in fifth. On 37, Inter are in 6th in 36. And obviously everyone wants to make the top 3 for the Champions League. But I have to give Icardi some props before we move on from this. He has been performing phenomenally well.
That's what Maxi
in such a bad team.
Wife said.
Yes, that's
or is it Lopez? Which one?
Maxi Lopez.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll take them all, man. he's been playing really well. Top scorer of the league. Phenomenal performances as a captain too for Inter. We know how he had that kind of fallout a little bit with the ultras as well, but he's playing really well in a very bad team.
Oh yeah, morally he's bankrupt, but his account is full of goals.
So So let's go to the African Cup of Nations, hosted in Gabon.
Yeah.
I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Not a place with political instability, so we're okay with that, right?
Taking your word for it.
Yeah, trust me on
that. Is that AFCON in Gabon?
Yeah.
Good attempt. All right, so seriously, let's start with the host country, Gabon. They are the Panthers.
Yes.
They drew 1-1 with Guinea-Bissau, the Jirtus. And the Jirtu is a species of fox.
Well, Guinea-Bissau had no right claiming any points all tournament, to be fair. They're absolutely bottom of the bottom.
This is an unrealistic result. A, because a panther will always beat a fox.
Except when they draw.
Except the sly fox.
Though. Very interesting animal.
Essentially, what happened is the fox ran away for as long as it possibly could until the panther lost interest.
Yes. Or the panther was sleeping there and took advantage of it.
Okay. That's the analysis of Gabon 1, Guinea-Bissau 1.
Yeah, exactly. Burkina Faso, the Stallions, drew 1-1 with the indomitable Lions of Cameroon.
That is my team, Burkina Faso. They're going to win this whole thing.
That's just because you like Ouagadougou.
Well, Cameroon are missing a lot of players. Well, a few at least. Kamini in goal. He's fantastic when they play Barca, at least. Matip, who... There's a few issues on why, he's not showing up and blah, blah, blah. Is there anyone else to add down there? Neom from West Brom.
I just don't care about Cameroon. As a Nigerian, they're one of my most annoying teams, and we're not in it, so I hate.
I will always care about Cameroon because one of my earliest memories of life is seeing Roger Miller dance around the corner flag.
Just a walking cliche, Alex. Everyone says that. Yeah.
It's true, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Algeria played, and Alex's team for the tournament, Algeria. Yes,
the Fennec Foxes.
Yeah. Who did they draw 2-2 against? Zimbabwe?
The Warriors of Zimbabwe.
This game was amazing.
Phenomenal.
Chances all over the place. Goalkeeping miracles.
No, the thing is, there's no defend. I mean, look, this is why the Copa America and the AFCON can sometimes be better than the Euros. Because there is no defending. You just go all out, you try and score as many goals as possible, and it creates great games. I mean, this game we saw the Algerian goalkeeper, Reyes. There was one save where you couldn't even see the ball go, and he already reacted. Like, it was crazy.
It was one of the best saves I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Yes.
And Riyad Mahrez
stepped up with two
goals to solidify his position as the best player on the continent.
His first goal, agreed. His first goal ever. Was...
George Ware is angry.
Yeah, his first goal was the Leicester goal from last season, where he what he wants to do and he can't stop him. One of those Robin things.
Absolutely.
So you know what, Algeria, with how the game went, they're lucky to get the draw. Zimbabwe will be very disappointed with them.
As I told you, Algeria growing into the tournament.
Yes,
and they're still definitely going to win it.
Sure.
So let's go on to the Sadio Mane helmed Lions of Teranga, Senegal, who beat the Eagles of Carthage. See, for me, this is the best matchup because those two names together, imagine that. The Eagles of Carthage versus the Lions of Teranga. That is
classic.
That's like Ben-Hur or something.
With the intermission and everything.
And the Lions of Teranga won the game 2-0. Sadio Mane did score a penalty and celebrated as if the country's, fate of the country was in his hands. It was unbelievable.
Probably was, to be fair.
But I love that, though. I love that when players really care.
I mean, Senegal is one of the teams that are kind of touted to win this thing.
Yeah.
With Ivory Coast. But Ivory Coast did start quite bad with a 0-0 draw, I think.
Yep. The Elephants, Ivory Coast, drew 0-0 with the Sparrowhawks. I believe it's an Adebayor-less.
No,
I thought he wasn't in the squad, but he's actually there and he's captain.
He started the game.
He's also manager.
He hasn't.
And president.
Wow. He hasn't played a game in 7 months of football. And he started for
What are
them.
They doing? Well, honestly, what are they doing?
Well, they drew no type of calls. They're doing well.
How many Togolese people are there? He's the founder.
He's the founder of the country.
He's the best player they've ever had.
Yeah,
but he's Nigerian.
Everybody's Nigerian.
Whoa, disclaimer.
No, he actually is. He's born in Lagos. His parents are Nigerian. He moved to Togo to do school as a kid and lived there all his life and became Togolese.
All right, but Wilfred Zaha is playing for Ivory Coast. It's
and they suck.
I don't know what your point is, and I don't know what my point is.
I'm just calling out a Nigerian, as I always do on every... That's another inside joke. Yes. Every podcast, I will tell you a player who's
Bernie will claim someone. Yeah. Next, it will be like...
Ross Barkley.
Hold up.
Well, he is half Nigerian, but... not Ademola. Ademola Lookman is Nigerian.
Sure, mate.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
So is Peter Ademwingu.
Well, duh. He's just half Ukrainian, too. DR Congo, the Leopards, beat the Lions of Atlas. Ooh, imagine when they play the Lions of Teranga. That'll be great. They beat them 1-0.
Who are they? I mean, not everyone knows.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I forgot. Morocco.
Okay.
Now, which Congo is that?
DR.
Dr. Congo.
Democratic Republic.
Yes.
So the bad indeed. One. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, the good and the bad Congo. Yeah.
So Ghana play Uganda tomorrow.
Yes.
Black Stars and the Cranes. Mali, the Eagles, play against Mohammed's Pharaohs.
Oh, man, we're going to absolutely dominate. We're going to win the tournament clean sheet throughout the whole thing. Just Mohamed Salah just running, counter-attacking every game.
At least we got it on record when they fail.
Yeah.
Salah and El Nini.
It's better than Nigeria that are not in the tournament.
At least we won it recently.
True.
Haven't Egypt won it more than anyone else?
Oh, yeah, but I'm not going to bring it up because I'm not paying.
I'm sorry. Why is Alex always flipping sides? I don't understand.
I mean, it's like Spurs and Arsenal.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, quite, yeah.
All right.
So I think that brings us to the end.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've enjoyed it, check us out. Check out the website, underthecouchblog.com. I mean, once we end, the end bit will tell you to do all of this again. But
that's true.
It doesn't harm.
Yeah.
SoundCloud, iTunes, all that good stuff. Again, if you're from Toronto, come out for the quiz on
February 8th.
Yeah, sign up on Facebook. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, tweet us at _thecosh and we'll get in touch.
Thank you for downloading the Coshcast. Get in touch at underthecoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thecosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthecoshblog.com.